Ephesians chapter 1. God wants our hearts to realize that we have divine hope, that we are God's inheritance. What blessings! And that we can have God's power. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness? The exceeding greatness of his power to us. In our study this morning of this omnipotent power, I want us to first see a portrait of God's power, and then our second point will be a promise of God's power. We see a portrait of God's power, this incomparably great power throughout the Word of God. And certainly this picture is so visibly seen in creation. As Paul says in Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. And God is declared to be the creator, of course, throughout the Word of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. Jeremiah 10:12 speaks of God making the earth by his power. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 capture the extent of his creation. Let me read those verses for you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things exist. The creative power of the living God. And then Psalm 19:1, we all know that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. And speaking of the heavens, on day 4, we read in Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. It's kind of like, oh, he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. What is man's answer to how many stars there are? Let me just tell you, the number keeps growing. One source said there are approximately 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. And that is 200 sextillion, one followed by 21 zeros. Astronomers estimate that there are roughly 10,000 stars for each grain of sand on the earth. I can't even wrap my mind around that. And God's omniscience knows them all by name. God's power spoke them all into existence. And by the way, he made the stars also. If that doesn't humble you, and he's our God. We are talking incomparably great power. We sing about that great power and how great thou art. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. But Scripture gives us many other examples of God's power. How about God sending 10 different plagues on Egypt? And thereafter, following the Exodus, providing the food and water for millions of his people, as they traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. God commanding the walls around Jericho to come tumbling down, and God defeating the armies of Israel's enemies again and again and again. And didn't we see that? If you're alive in 1967, the Six-Day War, how God gave victory to the Israelites. Power. But honestly, the greatest demonstration of God's power is witnessed in God raising his son from the dead. In God conquering the last enemy man has, and that is death. Remember, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that death is swallowed up in victory. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so those of us in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, the end of verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead. Someone has aptly said, if the death of Christ is the supreme demonstration of the love of God, then the resurrection of Christ is the supreme demonstration of his power. And where has this power now placed Jesus? Verse 20, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father, which is the place of power and authority over all things, including angelic beings, both loyal and lethal, and the church. And the idea of the fullness of him here is probably connected to the manner in which our all-powerful Lord fills his church with his presence and blessing. And his presence and blessings are surely with us now as we are gathered together in his name. As we have said, we will consider one of those blessings in our second point, the promise of God's power to us. We've seen the portrait of God's power. This power is promised to us. Now, how do you and I access this power of God? How do we come to experience this divine power? And by the way, he made the stars also. Well, turning again to Ephesians chapter 1, we read in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? It's applicable to you and me who believe. This working of God's mighty strength, this surpassing greatness of God's power, is available to everyone who believes. Everyone who has placed his or her faith and trust in Jesus as Savior. And when we do believe, we experience the power of the gospel, which saves us. Paul said that in Romans 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the apostle adds in 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, that our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Friends, the power that created the universe, the power that raised Christ from the dead, is the same power that has redeemed your soul and mine. I love what Spurgeon says here. The very same power which raised Christ is waiting to raise the drunkard from his drunkenness, to raise the thief from his dishonesty, to raise the Pharisee from his self-righteousness, and to raise the Sadducee from his unbelief. And I must add, that same power is waiting to deliver us, you and me, from addictions, from pornography, from bitterness, from unforgiveness, from covetousness. Friends, this power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that can raise us from our defeats. Amen? That gives me hope. Because this power not only saves us, it sanctifies us. It transforms us from one degree of glory, the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, into the next level of glory. By the power of God's Spirit, by being filled with God's Spirit, we can now live by the power of God. Listen to what Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter 1:3 adds, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness." And so here we see how we can live a life of godliness in this crazy, deceived world. How we can have the power of God. Friends, this abundant Christian life is the Christ-directed life by which Christ lives his life in and through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And this power-filled life is ours as we exhale, as we confess our sin. And this confession is so necessary because sin is what grieves and what quenches the Holy Spirit's power. It shuts off the power of God's Spirit. But when we uncover our sin before God, when we confess and when we forsake it, he covers us with his forgiveness. And then this power-filled life is ours when we inhale, as we surrender control of our lives to Christ, and then as we prayerfully trust him to direct and empower us as we obey him. And prayer is such a key to experiencing this power. I think of Acts chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." God's power and God's grace always go together. God says, "Then call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And then we can truly live, not just exist, but live. There's a huge difference. And we are strengthened with might by God's Spirit in our inner man. Then we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then we can exclaim, Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Then we can declare, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Then we can wait upon the Lord to renew our strength, for we are trusting the God who said, "Nothing is too hard for me. With me, all things are possible." Can you think of something right now? You know, you're struggling. I mean, you feel like, "Boy, I feel defeated so often." With God, all things, all victories are possible. All victories are possible. And this power also provides us with joy and peace and comfort and love and guidance and self-control and purity and wisdom, the power to make right choices. This power gives us the strength to, in all our ways, acknowledge Him. And what is the promise? Then He will direct our paths. To live out God's will throughout the ups and downs and the twists and the turns of life, to be a witness for Him. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. If there's no engine generating power, a car, a train, a plane go nowhere. They just sit there and take up space. And likewise, when we are not appropriating God's power, our Christianity is lifeless. It is dead, and we're going nowhere. But oh, the difference in living when we can say with David, "For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect or complete. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me." Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friends, in this messed up world, I say, believe in Jesus and know the power of the gospel. I say, believe in Jesus and know the power of the new life. What are you depending on? What power are you trusting in to live the abundant Christian life? I can tell you from experience, you and I don't have the power in ourselves to walk in victory. I don't care who you are. It's only our believing in Jesus personally that gives us that grace. And that grace, that power is ours in our realized weakness. Then and only then can we be spiritually strong. I think of Christ's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect or complete in your," and really what it's saying there is your realized weakness. And then Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong." Oh, might we see the portrait of God's power throughout Scripture. And then might we appropriate that promised power through our dependence on the Holy Spirit. Again, nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Can you think of a victory you need right now? Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Can you think of a friend, a loved one, some acquaintance that needs the gospel, needs to get saved? Nothing, no one is beyond the realm of the gospel. No one is beyond salvation. I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted, blind eyes made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. Might you experience that power today to live for Christ. Friends, might you have mountain-moving faith. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? Who, what? Believe. Might you and I truly believe.